All right, folks, welcome back in. I'm Jake Ellibogan. If you're new here, welcome. This is the fourth thing I've done today. I mean, I know we did a live stream earlier about Ernest Jones. We did a live stream on Bleacher Report, and now we're doing a live stream now. And earlier this morning, I recorded at like 5 a.m. The video on the Ernest Jones potential trades. So I figured we'd do a JE live. Won't be super long because I got plenty of stuff to do. I got to record Downtown Rams at 8 with Alexis. And then 9 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going live on the NFC West Roundtable. Do that every single Tuesday night. So just wanted to put that out there. But appreciate everyone being in here. I just saw that Kyren Williams was named the punt returner for this team. I don't even have words for that. I don't know how a guy who only played 12 games last year in the regular season, injured. I'm not saying he's injury prone, but putting your running back, who is your RB1, who is vital to your success, back there in a punt returner role, giving him essentially more bumps and bruises and putting him in, you know, more dangerous situations. Honestly, if we're being, you know, real here, special teams is one of the most dangerous things in football. Don't love that one. I don't love that. I don't love the idea of this at all. So I wanted to say that, but I figured we'd go live. I already did I did a live stream on Bleacher Report, just breaking down the roster. It is out now, so we are going to talk about that. So it won't be just Kyren Williams and, you know, being a punt returner or whatever the whole time. But I did want to make mention of that because I think it's a dumb idea. I think it's stupid, if you want my honest opinion. So it's kind of like trading away Kyren or trading away Ernest Jones for a bag of beans. But let's talk about the roster, okay? So the roster, it looks like everything is in order. Okay. They've made all the changes and everything. So looking online, the roster is what the roster is. So looking at this, although do we have a normal depth chart here or is that screwed up? Looks to be normal. Yes. Okay. So updated depth chart, roster, everything. We're good. Let's talk about guys that did get cut that I was a little surprised with. Okay, let's start off with Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is one of the best offensive linemen that we saw in preseason. PFF graded him pretty much in the top five with, you know, the majority of those categories for offensive line. Really confused why they didn't bring him back. And I understand, you know, I'll always get people that say, well, Jake, you have to understand not everybody's going to get claimed. He could very well be back. And yeah, that's true. Not everybody gets claimed, but when you have guys that stand out like that in preseason, those guys are hard to bring back. And so I think Zach Thomas is going to get claimed, if I'm being honest. Really annoyed by that, but it is what it is. If he doesn't, I'll be happy. I really like him. I think they found something with him, but, and you guys know that because we made a video on Zach Thomas and got a bunch of shit for it. But, yeah, you know, I very much feel good about that. If he comes back, I really like his game, and I was just surprised he wasn't on the 53. Another one I was kind of surprised with was Xavier Smith. I thought Smith outplayed Tyler Johnson in preseason. He had a great camp, just barely missed it, I would assume. They decided to keep only 6 wide receivers. Can't hate on him for that, but they might lose Xavier Smith. I'm not saying they 100% will. I mean, the same could be said about Zach Evans. The same could be said about AJ Arcuri. But these guys are definitely in play to lose, okay? So I think it's important that we realize that and recognize that these guys definitely can be claimed. I understand it doesn't happen very often. It's not like everybody gets claimed, but there are quite a few players that the Rams cut today that could be on 53-man rosters. Jason Taylor II's another name, and Keir Thomas, I want to point out as well. I think Keir Thomas could really help out an Arizona Cardinals team that needs some pass rushing production. He was top 10 in pass rushing there. The pressure rate on PFF, so he had a really good preseason. Jason Taylor II was one of the best run supportive safeties in preseason. So you have those guys, Tanner Engels, Sean Jolly, Justin Dietich, I hope they bring back out of USC. He had a great preseason. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Just wanted to hit on that first. Also, guys, be sure to like this video if you haven't already. It's just the thumbs up button. It takes literally 2 seconds, not even a second. And it helps out the channel and the video's health a lot. So that's what we have there. And then, you know, moving on to the actual roster, right? Because, you know, we're talking about guys that, you know, got waived and such and guys that could be claimed and what have you. But we didn't really talk about the roster. I just kind of, you know, glanced over it and then we didn't really talk much about it. So let's talk about it, right? So I'm going to bring you back to my last mock draft. This is the best I've ever done, I think, I would say, for a mock draft. I got Matthew Stafford, Stetson Bennett correct, right? I got Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, Ronnie Rivers. I got Xavier Smith wrong. I had him making the roster, got him wrong. Tight ends, I got those three right. Offensive line, I had them keeping 9, but I had them keeping Zach Thomas and not Connor McDermott, although he was on my initial one. Defensive line, I had them keeping 5, so I had everybody except for Durden. Really like Durden, so I'm glad they kept him. I think he's really good depth behind a Bobby Brown, can come in and be that nose tackle. I thought he showed some really good things in preseason, so, you know, really like that. Linebackers. Now, I want to take a little bit of a mulligan here, because to be fair, when I put this thing out there, Ernest Jones, I didn't even know about Ernest Jones even possibly being traded. Do you guys remember that? I put this video out way before Ernest Jones even had anything connecting him to any sort of trade. So I didn't think Elias Neal would make the roster. I thought he had a good preseason and he was worthy of it, but I didn't think he'd make the roster. Roseboom, Reader, Jake Hummel, and Omar Spates, I got right. Ernest Jones will just kind of give me a mulligan there, because there's no way I would have known that either way. Cornerbacks, Darius Williams, Tre'Davious White, Kobe Durant, Josh Wallace, and Charles Woods. Got them all right. And then safeties, I got all right. Yeast and McAuliffe joining Kitchens, Curl, Lake, and Johnson. Of course, the specialist. The hardest one was to get right when you have one kicker, one punter, one long snapper. You got to make sure you have those guys right. Am I right there? But no, altogether, I missed on Ernest Jones, which we're mulliganing. I'm calling it. You guys can put in the comment section if I deserve a mulligan for that. I'm going to say I do. Not that it's that big of a deal. But Ernest Jones, mulligan. I left out Durden. So I missed on Durden. I missed on Connor McDermott. And I missed on Xavier Smith. Didn't make the team. So I had 3 misses, guys. I've gotten better each year. I've gotten better at learning this team and, you know, learning how the organization works and figuring out the rosters. And so I will take it. Not bad. 50 out of 53. And if we're not giving me a mulligan, then it's 49 out of 53, which I will still take. My best year yet. My practice squad was Zach Evans, Boston Scott, Sam Wiglis, Miller Forrestall, Nikola Kalinic, AJ Arcuri, Connor McDermott, Justin Dietich, Corey Durden, O'Shawn Mathis, Zach Van Valkenburg, Olakunle Fadukasi, Cam McCutcheon, Sean Jolly, Tanner Engel, and Jason Taylor II. I would say I can't get 2 of those right on the 16 because Corey Durden's already made the 53 and so has Connor McDermott. And I can't get another one right because Boston Scott signed with the Steelers practice squad. So he's gone. So that's a bummer. But, yeah, that's what I had for that. Obviously, Garoppolo is suspended. Alec Jackson suspended. And you put Tyler Higbee on the PUP list. And you have, you know, IR guys like, you know, designated return, which I liked seeing. I mentioned this. Remember I said, don't assume Leviston's getting cut. He's going to go on IR, okay? He hasn't done anything. He had no chance to have any sort of reps in preseason, but I don't see them just giving up on him, which I like. So they put him on an IR designated return. They also put, like I mentioned earlier, Laryl Murchison on an IR designated return. These guys being that they're designated to return because the rules have changed, before you had to keep them on your 53 a day, and then the next day you'd be able to move them on to the IR. Now they're IR designated to return before all of that, so that's good. Trey Tomlinson, unfortunately for him, his season's over. He is on season-ending IR. The Rams could come to an agreement with him, injury settlement, and then if he's healthy, he can leave and go and sign for another team. But if he chooses to stay and he's not healthy, then he's going to be with the Rams next year and have a chance to battle in camp. And I think that's the best of both worlds because, you know, Trey Tomlinson might actually have an opportunity when the smoke clears out next year to come back and compete. I mean, we saw, you know, Logan Bruss, a third round pick, not a sixth rounder, a third rounder, and Logan Bruss get cut last year. And instead of being all discouraged, he came back, he worked his tail off, and now he made the 53. So I like that. I think you keep THT, you keep him in the organization. We'll see what ends up happening, but keeping him in the organization, I'm all for. I'm hoping that's the case with guys like Zach Thomas and Xavier Smith and so forth. But I think the Rams have a wicked good roster, even still without Ernest Jones. There's a lot of unproven talents. Shout out to the Rams, though, in a sense, because Jalen McAuliffe is a UDFA who just made the team. Charles Woods, Josh Wallace, Omar Spates. These are UDFAs that made this roster this year. Undrafted rookie free agents. So it's really nice to see that. I believe they kept four, right? There's four UDFAs. I don't think they have more than that, but that's still really good. Four UDFAs. And in addition to that, there's a lot of rookies on this roster. So you talk about Blake Corum being one of them, right? Blake Corum. You got Bo Limmer. So that's two rookies right there. You have Braden Fisk and Tyler Davis. That's four. Jared Verse, five. Brennan Jackson, six. You got Omar Spates, seven. Woods and Wallace making that 8 and 9. And McAuliffe, 10. So you got 10 rookies that made your 53-man roster. And four of them are UDFA's undrafted rookie college free agents. That's really cool. It's a testament to the hard work that they put in. It's a testament to the coaching staff able to get the most out of them. And in addition to that, I think they deserve a lot of credit as well. Five out of the 10. Thank you, Hilltop. Yes, 5 out of 10. So half of the rookies are UDFAs. Pretty crazy when you think about it. But you got to give them a lot of props because they did a really nice job finding these guys, right? Oh, and Kitchens. Yeah, I'm just making mistakes everywhere. Kitchens. 11. Thank you. The Rams have shown in the past they can find talent wherever talent is. And sometimes that's in the draft. Sometimes it's not in the draft. It's after the draft, what have you. We've seen it before with Alaric Jackson. We've seen it before with Corey Littleton. We've seen it before this organization's like current state, like the regime. We saw it with Ronnie McLeod. We saw it with plenty of guys, right? So I like that about this team. I like that about this organization in that it doesn't matter where you're drafted. It doesn't matter, you know, how you are acquired. You still have a shot to make this team. It's a good look. And I think this team is going to be fun. It's a ball of energy. They predominantly a defensive minded team in a sense, based on the roster outlook. You have 22 offensive players that made a 53-man roster. So that's something to keep in mind. I didn't love, obviously, I still hate getting rid of Ernest Jones. I'm still pissed off about that. Guys, there's really no good way to put it. I mean, it wasn't a good trade. And people will say, well, you know, Ernest Jones may have changed his mind and maybe he wasn't going to play on that deal. And you know what? If he wasn't going to play on the deal, that's fine. But I've said, I would have rather had him hold out the whole year than trade him for that junk today. Because if he holds out the whole year and then signs with the team next year, the Rams get a compensatory pick that would have at least been better than their 2026 pick that they got. Like, let's just be honest. So I didn't like that. Just like I don't like Kyren Williams returning punts. And I think Tutu Atwell is going to be the kick returner because, I mean, that's what he kind of told us, that they were going to use him that way. really interesting that they decided to go with Kyren Williams, who missed multiple games last year, who, when he missed games, the offense fell off a damn cliff. They decided to put him in the role of a punt returner. I never really understood why teams like to do that. I didn't understand when the Steelers used to put Antonio Brown as a punt returner. I never understood that. Had no idea what they were really doing. To me, not really a big, not really a big fan of that, but it is what it is. I think in looking at the roster, though, guys, if we're being honest here, because we already went over the roster and everything, if we're being honest, going into week one, I think the Rams offense is going to be really, really good. Like, I think that is going to be an offense that's ready to roll right away. And I think that the Lions are going to have trouble stopping Matthew Stafford. I think the Lions are going to have trouble stopping this new look offensive line. But at the same time, no Rob Havenstein. So where do they go here? Okay. Because I don't think Rob Havenstein's going to play. Are we going to see Warren McClendon Jr.? Or are they going to go with more of a veteran presence with Connor McDermott? That's the question. Is Connor McDermott going to step in there and take over for a Rob Havenstein? That's the question. We don't know. We don't know. I will find out at some point. But I think I would rather go with Warren McClendon Jr., just because he's been with the team longer. He knows the offense better. That's the thing. So, but who steps in Jones' place? I think it could be Omar Spates. I'm not saying it will, and I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. I think he did a great job in preseason. Obviously, he was the number one defensive player, according to PFF. But, I think there's guys like Christian Roseboom that definitely are well-liked in this organization. Troy Reader has started in a Super Bowl, whether you like him or not. And Jacob Hummel is incredibly athletic and gives you something in the coverage area of his game that others don't. I think Elias Neal right now is just a special teamer, a very good one at that. So they're very excited to have a guy like Elias Neal in that special teams role. But like for me, I think I would probably roll week one. I mean, I don't see why you don't give Omar Spates a shot. I really don't. But I could also see Roseboom and Hummel and so forth. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I mean, that's kind of that. There's a lot of uncertainty in the linebacker room. And just because, and we talked about this last year. We said this. Remember I said this? I said over and over again, people are like, this defense is going to be trash. And I said, just because they're unproven doesn't mean they're bad. We don't know. So just because they're unproven does not mean they're bad. And I want to make that clear because, we've seen guys be unproven before. At one point or another, Kurt Warner was unproven, right? Kurt Warner was unproven. London Fletcher was unproven. Hell, even first-round rookies were unproven. Matthew Stafford was the unproven quarterback that was drafted number one overall out of Georgia in 2009 by the Detroit Lions, and he was unproven. You have to go out there and do something. You can't just be given anything in this league, in any sport. Any sport. The jersey behind me, Aaron Judge. Guess what? He's the best player in the world. Sorry, guys, he is. He was unproven. He had to go in there. His first year, he barely played. He didn't even play enough to be considered a rookie. Like, he didn't even play enough to be considered rookie eligible, right? His first year, he hit like 180 or whatever. The next year, he had 52 home runs. So, yeah. That's that. But so people are saying Otani in the comment section. I just say this. Otani, when he's pitching, you have an argument. When Otani's not pitching, you don't have an argument. Otani's absolutely a better player when he's pitching. He's not better when he's not pitching. So right now, he's currently not better than Aaron Judge. When he's pitching again, he is. Anyway, point being is that these guys have to come from somewhere. Okay? So, you know, we hear it all the time. Oh, this guy's unproven. This guy's unproven. This guy. Yeah, that's great. Everyone's unproven. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was unproven. And now we look at him like the best player in the league. Like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I remember I went on ESPN radio and they asked me Trubisky, Watson, or Kaiser. And I said Mahomes. The guy's like, Mahomes? Wow. He's like, yeah, he's the best quarterback in this draft. But he's got to prove that when he gets to the NFL. That's the state of things. So look, I'm going to be upset about the Ernest Jones trade. I am. But I mean, the reality of the situation is this. And it's very simple. There are players that just need a time to be able to play. And then once they play, they're able to show what they can do. I mean, let's be honest here. If Omar Spates went somewhere else, he may have not gotten the opportunities. The Rams gave him opportunities in training camp. They gave him opportunities in preseason. I was told he actually ran with the ones sometime, you know, during camp. So if he rolled with the ones at all, I definitely think there's a chance that he could be starting. But we'll have to see. As far as cornerbacks, I think it's really fascinating they kept two UDFAs. They kept Josh Wallace and they kept Charles Woods. And I look at that and I think, you know, on one hand, I'm like, I really like it. On another, I'm curious, you know, are they kind of looking at it like they're the best guys available? Or are these guys that really stepped up in a big way? Because Darion Kendrick went down. He obviously would have had one of those spots. I heard great things about Kendrick. But, you know, we don't know. And safety, guys, I have not seen a safety room this deep in Rams history. When have the Rams had this type of safety room? You're talking about Quinton Lake, Cameron Curl, John Johnson III, Russ East, Cameron Kitchens, and Jalen McAuliffe? That's insane. That's a great safety room. I've never seen the Rams have a safety room that deep. They normally don't keep six safeties either. But I think these guys have the capabilities to play star. They have the capabilities to fill in as a linebacker if necessary. And I think that's why ultimately they decide to keep six. But I really do like their safety room. And I like their corners. If Kobe Durant takes that next step like they've been talking about, their corners, if they stay healthy, would be great. I still think they could add a Kelly Witherspoon, and now they actually have some money to do so with the $3 million that they saved from the salary dump of a 24-year-old top 10 linebacker. But I digress. But anyway, I definitely think Akello would help this team. But currently, I do like their corners. Now, I want to also say this. Outside linebackers, they got so much better there adding Verse. They got so much better there being able to retain Michael Hoyt. And, of course, they have Byron Young going into another year. Michael Hoyt is incredible because what Michael Hoyt will do is he can play in the interior and he can play on the outside. So he can be an edge and he can play in the interior defensive line. And so he gives you that option. Then you have Nick Hampton, who started to make strides and, you know, move forward, right? And then you have Brennan Jackson, who I'm thrilled about long term. So I really like what you got there on the edge and then the interior defensive line. You know, you feel really good about that. I mean, let's be honest here. Bobby Brown III, he's been ready to make an impact. He's still really young, too. Doesn't get nearly enough respect, but he's going to have a really big season this year. Kobe Turner's coming off a season where he was robbed of Defensive Rookie of the Year. Laryl Murchison is going to start on the IR, but I think he could help them out. Braden Fisk, Kingpin, it's going to be great. Really excited for Kingpin. Really excited for Braden Fisk. Tyler Davis showed you what he can do in the preseason. So did Deswan Johnson. And then you see Corey Durden, the former Lion, who is definitely going to make an impact, I think, in that rotation. When you look at the offense, though, what can we make of the offense? What are you looking at when it comes to the offense? Well, you see Matthew Stafford, and you see Kyron Williams, you see the same faces and everything. But when you have guys like Puka Nacua, like, that was a lot of pressure to be put on a young kid coming out of the draft. immediately, fifth round pick, is like, yeah, you're our starter because Cooper Kupp went down. You're the guy. Well, Puka Nacua stepped up in a big way. And if anyone has to do that, who would be next to do that? I think I've said before, I'll say it again, I think it'd be Jordan Whittington. But I also think people are way sleeping on guys like Tutu Atwell. Okay, they're sleeping on guys like DeMarcus Robinson. Cooper Kupp has been told by people have said that he is all the way back. Okay, so that's an exciting thing. Very exciting. So there's that. Colby Parkinson didn't play a lick of preseason. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they really like him. They like him so much that even Davis Allen played in preseason. Okay, Colby Parkinson, I said it when they got him, I think could be a steal. I think he can be an under-the-radar gem. And I think he's going to be great for this offense. He's a really good blocker, but what a lot of people forget is that he's really good at high-pointing the football, boxing out defenders like he's a power forward. He's a big 6'7 tight end. He's athletic. He's going to be a red zone threat. So I'm very excited about that. And then the offensive line I'm excited about. Like I said, the depth that they have there is great. Still wish they didn't cut Zach Thomas. But, you know, it's like, man, I like this roster. So I wanted to reiterate that because my thing here is that, yes, Ernest Jones, that trade pissed me off. And it still does because I'm tired of these, you know, oh, yeah, this pick swap and all of that. I'm tired of that shit. Okay, I am. But I'll say this. I still think this team is going to be ready to go. I still think they should be considered a Super Bowl contender. I still think that they should be considered a team that has the best quarterback in the NFC, the second best running back in the league in Kyron Williams, a potential to have the best player, best wide receiver in the game when he's healthy in Cooper Kupp, one of the best wide receivers in the game in Puka Nacua. I think the offensive line is going to be at least top 10, maybe top 5. Then you look at the defense. Yeah, the defense is unproven as hell. But they have big-time players like Cameron Curl. Okay? They have Darius Williams. They have Tre'Davious White. These guys stay healthy. They're going to be great. Jared Verse. Byron Young in year two. Kobe Turner in year two. Bobby Brown III. No, I feel really good about this team. And I think they're going to steal a lot of games that I think they would have lost in the past. In addition to that, you have Sean McVay going into another year. He's learned from his mistakes. He's learned every year from his mistakes. You have a young defensive coordinator who, let's be honest here, has set a tone early on. The tackling was evident even in preseason. If the starters can show half of what we saw in the preseason, this team's going to be totally fine. I think they'll be fine without Ernest Jones. With that said, trading away Ernest Jones in general, I didn't have an issue with, okay? Let me make that very clear. I was more upset with the fact they traded him for nothing than I was for them just trading him in general. I understand trading him. But if you trade him, you should have gotten a Troy Anderson from the Falcons or a Nate Landman, or you should have gotten somebody. And then people will say, you know, and I already see somebody on Twitter saying it. I knew he would. I knew he would say it. I love the guy to death, but I knew Andrew Whitworth would call me out. He did it last time. He's doing it again. Doesn't interact with me any other way. Again, love the guy. Absolutely appreciate him. He's a Rams legend, but, you know, basically, the only time he ever interacts with me is when he disagrees with me. And, I mean, you guys know I'm pretty much, I'm more on the optimistic side of things. But God forbid I ever throw any shade or say anything about the Rams and you know what. So anyway, point I'll make is this. I'll say this, okay? I watched a kick returner get traded today by the Jets and they got the same package as Ernest Jones. Are we serious? So, look, I'm not upset that Ernest Jones got traded. Okay? I'm upset that they traded him essentially for nothing. And it happens all the time. All the time. And I will continue because here's the thing, folks. Why would you guys listen to me if I'm going to cheerlead the Rams front office, huh? Why? Why would you listen to me? If I'm going to cheerlead the Rams front office every time they do something, why would you listen to me? Why wouldn't you just listen to the Rams? Like, only the Rams. See, this is why, like, there are creators. Because people have different opinions. And actually, we can all learn a thing or two from them. I'm sure there are other Rams creators that have thought of things. Now, I have no time to watch pretty much anything. As you guys can see, I've been streaming all day or creating content all day. But it's like, there's always new ideas out there. And just because we have differing opinions, just because we have differing opinions doesn't mean it has to be personal. Doesn't mean that we're clowns, okay? That, you know, I'm willing to hear, I look at the comments, like, do you know how many times I've literally come up with an idea jogged by you, the viewer, in the comment section? You guys will give me an idea and I'll be like, I should do a video on that. You know how many times it's happened? Like, I might not be the best at replying to every comment because you guys overwhelm me with comments. Good thing, by the way. Very good thing. But I do read most of them. And I actually get, you know, I gain a lot of perspective because people see the game differently. But what I can't stand is when it's this idea that I have to listen because they're the professionals. Like, they're the they make the professional decisions. Yeah, you know who else makes professional decisions? And obviously, I'm not throwing shade and saying that the Rams are on that level. But the guys who literally got fired from said professional decisions then go on TV and give bad takes. Oh, well, they were professionals at one point. Yeah, no one cares. No one cares. So the reality of it is we all have differing opinions. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of people out there that could be general managers that just don't want the job or they're locked out. I just, you know. Yeah, Dingus, I did see it. I did. I just, you know, it, like, he can do that. It's totally fine. And I have a lot of respect for him. I'm a big fan of Andrew Whitworth. But at this, like, the thing I've noticed, and I'm going to also make this very clear, this is actually why I've tried to spend less time on Twitter, because I feel like people on YouTube are genuinely your friends, like, you're not your friends necessarily, because there's obviously trolls and stuff. They're people that support you. And then the people on Twitter, some do and some don't. I owe Twitter a lot. I mean, I've literally found all my co-hosts on Twitter. I wouldn't know Alexis through Twitter. I wouldn't know if Gary Sheffield Jr., my buddy, who does Yankees Unloaded with me, I wouldn't know him via Twitter. I wouldn't know Blaine Grisak. I wouldn't, there are a lot of people that I met through Twitter, and I'm thankful for that. But when I'm looking for, like, my actual diehard supporters, if I went through my Twitter following, not everybody on Twitter comes over here and watches these shows. So you guys do, and I appreciate you for it. I'm always going to give you, shout outs for it. And I think end of the day, you know, people are going to have issues and opinions and whatnot. And I'm not close to the organization at all. They don't throw me bones or anything like that. I have people that do. I have people that are around the organization. But it's not like the Rams have reached out to me and be like, hey, come on our show. I've been on the Cincinnati Bengals radio network. The Cincinnati Bengals, the team the Rams beat in the Super Bowl, I got invited onto their show before I got onto the Rams show. So, I mean, you know, like, I'm not expecting a handout or anything. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. And whether people like it or not, it's tough. I do the same thing with Yankees Unloaded. Gary and I were fair. just like I'm fair with the Rams. We're fair in our coverage. We're not trying to rip on people and be, you know, necessarily unprofessional and take it personally. But at the end of the day, I'm going to call it like it is, guys, because if I don't, then I'm just a shill. And I won't be that. So, look, in the same breath of me saying I think this team can win the Super Bowl, I'm not changing my mind. I still think they do. I can also say this trade sucks and the value is a laughingstock. It's a joke. So it's that simple. It's that simple. I appreciate you, Boondi. Thank you, Deb. Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely hold back, but I think today I was a little annoyed. I was really annoyed because I'm sorry. I think, you know, I'll go as far as to say this. Because, again, I see it in my mentions. I see him saying what he's saying. I get it. And it's, look, Whitworth isn't saying I'm a terrible person or whatever. I tried to explain this once before, give up, Russ. He's basically saying that I'm a lost cause and I, like, whatever. Like, he's not being, like, terrible to me. He's not, like, calling me names or whatever. But I had that sent to me. Somebody sent me his tweet, whatever. But my thing is, it's insulting to my intelligence for me to have to sit here and be okay when Cam Thomas, okay, let's look at Cam Thomas. I have no issue with Cam Thomas, and I'm not talking about the Nets player. I'm talking about Cam Thomas on the Arizona Cardinals, who was just traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? That's the Cam Thomas I'm talking about. See, people will sit there and tell me, oh, yeah, you know, they couldn't get anything for him. This is all they could get. Cam Thomas. Okay, he netted the Cardinals. So the Chiefs gave, they gave, I'm trying to find the actual, I love how this article doesn't see it. Chiefs trade for Cam Thomas. Just, I don't know why it's so hard. I'm not trying to rip Cam Thomas, but, so, okay. So the Chiefs sent a 2025 seventh round pick. Okay? So they got Cam Thomas from Arizona Cardinals for a 2025 seventh round pick. He started 3 games in 2 years. 3. He has 2 pass breakups. He has 3 sacks in his career and 40 tackles. Ernest Jones couldn't get them anything in 2025. See, that's where I don't buy that. I don't care what anyone says. Cam Thomas literally brought in a 7th-round pick this year. They got more from Cam Thomas's 3 starts in his career than Ernest Jones. It's insane. And to me, that's where I take it as, like, this is insulting to my intelligence. Because you're going to sit there and try to tell me, oh, well, that's all the Rams could do. That's BS. That's BS. Call me crazy. Say I don't know what I'm talking about. But, like, come on now. And people are just okay with getting fleeced. I don't understand it. Let me find the one that I was talking about earlier. Oh, this one. Trade. The Jets are sending defensive back kick returner Brandon Codrington to the Bills for late round swaps in 2026. Guys, I know most people in this league. I've never even heard of Brandon Codrington. Ever. I've never heard of him. How is that the same exact trade as Ernest Jones. Maybe it's, Ernest Jones is a pick higher. I don't give a rip. It's the same thing we're talking about. I mean, I just don't get it. I've literally gone on record saying I think Les Snead's one of the best GMs in football. When it comes to trading, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't get it. And two things people will say with Ernest Jones. They'll say this all the time. Number one, they'll say, you don't know the situation. He made it probably hard to trade him, so they did what they could. Okay, but why are you giving him for that? I've seen head cases bring in a second and fifth round pick. That's first thing. And second, the second thing with Ernest Jones that really ticks me off and annoys the hell out of me, right? So the first thing I said was that you don't know the situation. The second thing is that if it ever felt like it was getting to this point, the Rams should have traded him during the draft. Why did they wait 2 weeks before the season and rushed to get 2026 pick swaps? Why was that the play? Why did they back themselves into a corner? And then number three, people will say, well, Ernest Jones was a locker room cancer. We have no... So you can't give me that because you can't on one hand tell me I don't know what's going on, I can't say anything, and then make an assumption that he's a locker room cancer, that he's poisoning the well? Are you kidding me? You can't say that. I mean, you can if I believe in your right to freedom of speech, but you get my point. So that thing annoys me because essentially if he's a locker room cancer, right? Oh, he's a locker room cancer. So why didn't, if everyone found that out, if every team found that out and that's why they barely got anything for him, the Rams failed. How do you even let that get out? See, I don't buy it. I don't think he's a locker room cancer. But either way, this is a total mess. Like, stop pretending it's not. It's okay to admit the Rams failed here. Even if Ernest Jones didn't want to play, you know, he changed his mind, didn't want to play without a contract, fine. The Rams should have traded him before. And they should have gotten more than this. Why did they just... They were like, yeah, sick. A fifth round 2026... I mean, come on. Like, are you kidding me? I don't know. I'm just kind of over it, so... Yeah. And, I mean, look. Most of this live stream was positive. And then, yeah, I'm still annoyed about Ernest Jones, so... I will calm down. We'll also, start packing this thing up. But I appreciate you guys. It's been a fun day. I mean, look, it's upsetting. I'm really not happy about today, the way it went down, but I'm happy to see our audiences back. I mean, spur of the moment live stream getting over 300 people live. Our audience is back. I'm excited for this season. And like I said it earlier, I really feel like, you know, this team can still win the Super Bowl. I'm still saying they're going to, but I think it's okay to be upset when a team makes an objectively bad trade. This isn't good value. I would have rather had them just cut him. Instead, they gave up a draft pick. They can never even get a pick. They always have to do a pick swap. I would have rather had them just cut him. Like, that's how I feel. I hate the pick swap. I can't stand looking at it. It drives me mad. It annoys me. But someone was saying Jordan Schultz said something about his knee. I guess before we wrap this up, Jordan, a friend of mine. I don't see anything about it. Where'd you guys see that? I don't know. Thank you, Deuce Falco. Appreciate the 10. I trust Les Snead too, but I'm also always going to be real. I'm always going to be real, unapologetically Jake. That is going to be me. This is, if you had a conversation with me away from a camera, this would be our conversation. I'm genuine. When this stuff happens, like, I try to be as genuine as possible to my actual reaction, actually how I feel. I don't want to do any of that covering up nonsense. Oh, that's not me. I don't want to do that. So that's what I'll say about that. I'm never going to sit here and beat around the bush. I'm always going to give you my full unapologetically Jake take, whether you like it or not, because I think that's what you guys want. And that's how I'll leave it. But Hank, appreciate the two there. Jake, the propaganda is real. Les choked. Yeah, I mean, I love Les Need, but yeah. AZZA, thank you so much for the donation. Last good trade Les made was the RG3 trade. That was great. We loved that. That was a great trade. You know what I can't wait, guys? I can't wait for people to spin it. Because you're not allowed to do multiple things on Twitter. So I can't wait for people to spin it as, because I'm reacting the way I'm reacting towards this trade, I don't like Omar Spates. That, I know that's how people will spin it. I cannot wait for that. Like, you know it's going to happen. People are going to make it because, you know, society is very divisive and we always have to have a, you know, a black and white answer to everything. So it will be you instead. It'll be like, oh, you like the Ernest Jones trade? Then that means, you know, you're a diehard fan of Omar Spates. But if you don't like the Ernest Jones trade, then that means you hate Omar Spates. It'll be one or the other. And it's ridiculous. But, you know, that's the way our society is. So, but yeah, not going to let this ruin the season, obviously. Just frustrating. And yeah, so be sure to like, subscribe, comment if you haven't already. Be sure to check out, this will be on audio formats very soon. I'll upload it in audio format. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can go and subscribe. Jake Ellenbogen Live, a Ram show or something along those lines. But Jake Ellenbogen Live, look it up. And another thing, if you want to support the channel further, definitely check out the memberships below. The $10 membership is going to gain access to anybody that wants the priority call-in feature. We're going to be like shortening the call-ins this year. There's a lot of call-ins that I got to do, and we're growing. We're way bigger than we did at the beginning of the last year. So if you want to be a part of that, definitely do that. Anything that you put in goes right into this channel, obviously, so you know that. But yeah. Appreciate you guys a ton. Appreciate all the support. It's been a long day. I'm nowhere near done with it. Got a podcast to record. Then I'm going live at 9, for NFC West Roundtable. Please check out NFC West Roundtable. I'm actually going to, let's see if there's any way I can do this here. Okay. Oh, there it is. So I'm going to send you guys over, literally redirect you to NFC West Roundtable. Everyone go, be sure to hit the thumbs up on there. Subscribe, represent your Rams tonight. Help me out, help out our channel. And I will see you guys later at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You guys take care and see you soon. Later, folks.